You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Boxing Podcast. Good to have you with us on this week's edition, where we're looking ahead to a plethora of fights over the course of the weekend, culminating, of course, in a big bout between Terence Crawford and Amir Khan on Saturday night. Sam Norris here, once again stepping in on this week's edition of the podcast and joining us live from New York City. Steve Bunce is on the line. How are you, Bunce?
Absolutely superb. What a place to be over Easter weekend, and what a fight and a series of fights to look forward to. It's boys' own stuff or girls' own stuff, depending on which way you look at it.
Yeah, definitely. So looking forward to some of the bouts we've got coming up over this weekend. Of course, the big news in the boxing world throughout the course of the week is that the Anthony Joshua Jarrell Miller fight is in some doubt after Jarrell Miller's license was revoked. The fight isn't completely dead in the water. He still has an opportunity to reapply for his license if the B sample comes back all clear. The way Eddie Hearn's been talking is that Anthony Joshua is 100% going to fight on that date in Madison Square Gardens. We'll get to who a potential replacement opponent could be in just a few moments. But explain to us why the fight isn't completely dead in the water with Baby Miller, first of all.
Well, because he has a... When you're tested, and this was a urine sample, VADA did a urine sample March 20th, your sample's put into two little containers, and you have a number, you don't have a name, you're just a number, some kind of set of digits. The A sample proved to be tested positive, and the B sample will, if you look at VADA's history, will also prove to be positive. However, there is a glimmer of hope. So if the B sample turned out to be negative, then in theory there could be a delay to his suspension fine or ban, and during that delay to the suspension ban or fine, in theory he could fight. But I'll tell you now, Miller will not fight Anthony Joshua on the 1st of June. Part of the reason for continuing with the narrative that the fight might happen is to make it seem that the matchroom people, Eddie Hearn, are not so desperate for a replacement. Because what happens in that desperation is that managers around the world, quite comfortably, quite sensibly, are asking for fortunes for their fighters because they know they're going to save the day. Whereas if there's just a chance, in theory, that Jarrell Miller can fight on June the 1st, then in theory, Eddie Hearn can say to them, well, listen, we don't desperately need you because we're probably still going to fight Miller. But if they say the fight's off, then Eddie Hearn, Madison Square Garden, DAZN, the streaming company in America, Sky, the TV company in Britain, become desperate because the clock is ticking down. So I can assure you, Anthony Joshua will fight at Madison Square Garden. In fact, from my hotel room here, the 21st floor, I'm looking right across at Madison Square Garden now, the main entrance. He'll fight in there on June the 1st. It will not be Miller in the opposite corner, but there will be a fight. It will be Joshua. It will be June 1st. That's what I can tell you.
The question is then, who, I suppose? Any likely candidates in your mind to fill the gap and, potentially save the day, despite the fact that no one wants it to seem like they are?
Well, there are eight boxers being considered, and of those eight, four have basically ruled themselves out through fitness or a ridiculous request for money. One of the guys who's a leading contender is a man called Michael Hunter, a heavyweight who recently signed a deal with Matchroom. That's a fight that could be made. Disappointingly, a young kid from Brooklyn called Adam Kalnacki, who's in fact sometimes trains with Baby Miller, Jarrell Miller, he ruled himself out, which is a pity. I think he's had 19 fights, knocked out 15 of them. He's a local kid, Brooklyn, and he brings a massive Polish fan base to the ring. So that would have been an entertaining fight. That one's not going to happen. And there was a guy called Oscar Rivas, who was my favorite, but I think he's going to end up fighting Dillian White. So at the moment, I think Michael Hunter, who's a decent enough heavyweight, he's a nice little mover, and he's American, and that will work here. I think it's going to be Michael Hunter in the opposite corner.
Okay. Interesting to see how that pans out then with the potential for Joshua to be fighting Michael Hunter. On to this week's action, of course. It's a big night at the O2 with David Allen, Derek Chisora, Josh Kelly and Conor Benn all in action. We'll spin through a couple of these fights fairly quickly because a couple of them are pretty short in the betting, namely Conor Benn and Josh Kelly, who are both 1-50 to get the job done. We may spend a little bit more time discussing the heavyweight bouts. Any reason for there to be an upset with Conor Benn or Josh Kelly, who are very, very short to see off their opposition?
Well, the only thing I would say is that as undermatched as they clearly are, and there's nothing wrong with that, it's our business, neither of them have been under pressure. So if, say, one of them got a cut, a gash over his eye or under his eye or on his forehead, we have no idea what they would do, whereas a seasoned boxer, the kind of guys that have been in world championship fights, if they get a cut, then they'll probably be able to fiddle their way to a victory. So we don't know what would happen if that happened to these two. But in general, they're being matched fairly safely, fairly comfortably. And I would expect the pair of them to win probably mid to late rounds. It's standard matchmaking. It's not... There's value in it if you're having a punt, if you put them in an ackee and they work out that way. We can always find value, let's put it that way.
Indeed, Conor Benn 1-50 to win his fight, and Josh Kelly the same price as well. Should be fairly straightforward for those two. We can get our teeth a little bit more stuck into some of the heavyweight bouts on the night, though. Particularly David Allen versus Lucas Brown. This is one of the more competitive fights on the card, according to the betting. 4-9 for David Allen. The draw is 22-1. Lucas Brown in the betting at 7-4. We've already got some enhanced odds on this fight. David Allen to win in rounds 1-4. That was 4-1. We've pushed that out to 5-1. Both these fighters have been beaten by Dillian Whiting in recent times. David Allen says he wasn't ready for Dillian Whiting. What was his first real big fight? He takes on Lucas Brown here, who's a former WBA champion. And as I say, we had a chance to take a look at both these fighters when they fought Dillian White. It's going to be a competitive bout on paper. Do you see it panning out that way?
Yeah, it has to be competitive. Dave White here, I think, is taking a bit of a risk. He's a fun character. He's a decent enough fighter. And Lucas Brown, forget the fact that he got knocked out by Dillian White. That was a savage, hard fight, a hard brawl. I think this is a really hard fight for Dave Allen. I do. The one thing I will say is that Lucas Brown's not that busy. And Dave's quite smart. And he might be able to stay busy, not get involved, not get hit on the chin. He's got a very good chin himself. He's been hit by good fighters and not crumbled. The Dillian White fight was a points defeat. I fancy Dave Allen. I do fancy Allen, don't get me wrong. But I think it's a real hard fight. It's a harder fight than many people are imagining. I fancy Allen, and I fancy Allen on point. Unless there's one or two things that have happened in Lucas Brown's life and he's not got himself in shape, he's not got himself mentally correct, in which case Allen could get to him and stop him. I don't see that. I see it going points. I see Allen winning on points.
Yeah, David Allen winning on points is 7-2 in the betting. I was surprised to see the fight to go the distance priced up at 2-1, given there may not be a great deal between them. Is that a bit of a big price, 2-1 for the fight to go the distance, 4-11 for it not to?
So the thing is, Dave Allen is, you know, if you sit in a chair, we sit down 15 boxing experts and we ask them to tell us who Dave Allen's stopped, who's ranked inside the world's top 100, and you can't give me an answer. So, I mean, I'm so sort of surprised. If Dave Allen suddenly stops Lucas Brown, it's not because Dave Allen's had some hidden talent or power. It's because Lucas Brown has arrived as a shot fighter. Now, Lucas Brown can club and hit people. The problem is Dave Allen's slippery, and he's got a really good chin. He's got a really strong neck and a really strong back, and he absorbs the shots. So I'd be surprised if he gets hit and caught. And I can't see him stopping Lucas Brown unless Lucas Brown is shot to bit. I've not seen the two of them this week. So I like to sometimes see them, have a little look, get a sense, get a feel of if there's any decay that I've not heard about going on. So without seeing them, I'm still opting for it to go the distance and Dave Allen winning.
Okay, that is 7-2 in the betting, as I mentioned, for David Allen to win that one on points when he takes on Lucas Brown. And on to the main event on the card, Derek Chisora taking on Senad Gashi. It's 1-9 for Chisora, 22-1 about the draw. Gashi is priced up at 5-1. Got enhanced odds on this one as well. Chisora to win on points is 7-2 instead of 11-4. Bit of a shorter price here. Chisora, how do you see this bout going?
I see Tesoro getting to him.
Right.
And I'll tell you for why. Tesoro thinks he's on that short list of eight to get the call up for Joshua.
Okay.
So I can assure you, he won't want to mess around. He'll want to do a job. And I think he will do a job. I think we're seeing the best Chisora in some ways now, a guy that maybe squandered some of his more important years, some of the years when he could have made a better impression. I know he lost last time out to Dillian White, but it was a cracking fight. He was in front. If he didn't get knocked out and he wins that round, he wins the fight. So I fancy Chisora. I fancy we're going to see a new, mean, determined, lean, fit, nasty Chisora, and it wouldn't surprise me if he gets it done in about five or six rounds. And if he gets it done in five or six rounds and he's absolutely clear, he will be screaming for Joshua. He's not going to get the fight, I don't think, but hey-ho, he can have a scream. Mm. And he enhances his chances if he does a good job.
Chisora to win in the group round betting, by the way, to win in rounds 1-3 is 6-1. To win in rounds 4-6 is priced up at 7-2. The fight to go under 7.5 rounds is 5-6, which could be of interest if you think Chisora likely to get it done. The main event this week, of course, is the fight that you'll be enjoying. Early hours of Sunday morning for us, Terence Crawford taking on Amir Khan. 1-12 for Terence Crawford. The draw 25-1 here. Amir Khan is 7-1. A whole host of enhanced odds already on this fight as well. It's a hashtag your odds fight as well. So if there's anything you fancy that isn't priced up, you can tweet at William Hill with the hashtag your odds and our traders will try their level best to price it up for you. Got Terence Crawford as the long odds on favourite here. Understandably so. He's one of the best pound for pound fighters in the world. He's a really good watch as well. Terence Crawford takes on Amir Khan, who got the win last time out, but he hardly impressed against Samuel Vargas.
No, he didn't impress against Vargas, but in all fairness, you could tell in the week before that fight that he wasn't going to impress. He said he was in the wrong place. You know, he was looking for a big fight. He's at that stage now, Amir, 10 years of world title fights, 10 years of fighting the best in the world, 10 years of not being afraid to gain a stone and move up and fight one of the greatest fighters in the world at the moment, and Samuel Vargas didn't excite him.
Mm.
Saying that, he won the fight quite comfortably, despite being dropped and then hurt again quite seriously in the 10th round. But you know, that Amir Khan is the one we've seen occasionally, and he does switch off, as we say, in boxing. This Amir Khan, the Amir Khan I've been around all week out here in New York, is the calmest I've ever seen him, and that goes back to before the Olympics when he was a 17-year-old,
right,
in 2004. I've never seen him this calm and at peace now, and in great condition. Obviously, mentally, I've just established that, but physically as well, no problem making the weight, getting to welterweight. He is now. I'm not sure if that's because he realizes this is the last chance and this is a lost cause and he can't, you know, he's in a win-win situation even if he loses, so to speak, because people expect him to lose. Crawford's the best, arguably the best pound for pound in the world. And whether he's just reached some kind of state of mind where he doesn't care, but at the same time has prepared thoroughly for what would be and something we can start talking about now, really, I suppose, what would be the biggest win shock by a British boxer in a world title fight. Last week, Anthony Collar went in with Lomachenko. Lomachenko was 1-100, if I'm not mistaken. What's Crawford this week, just to win? What are we talking about?
1-12, Crawford.
1-12. So last week it was 1-100, but we all knew it wouldn't happen. This week it's 1-12, and we are almost certain it won't happen, but there's just a slight glimmer. I can just see a light at the very far end of that tunnel, because you can start building cases for Amir doing things he did years ago, things that also dependent on Crawford not coming into the ring 100% switched on. It's become, believe it or not, during the week, a far more intriguing fight than it was last week or when it was announced 6 weeks or so ago.
It's interesting looking at Crawford's most recent win as well. That was quite a tough fight for a long way up until about the eighth round, and then Crawford began to get on top late. Could you see a similar story unfolding here against Khan?
Yeah, I think Khan will, you know, I would be surprised. If the fight goes past five or six rounds, Khan will be leading.
Right.
There's no two ways about it. His problem will be staying focused, staying in control, and taking and going from 6-9, then going from 9-12. You know, this is a hard mission here. Let's get this right. But he's not been sent out here on a lost cause. You know, he's here. It's a pay-per-view. You know, Khan does have some credibility on the American circuit. You know, he's been in some big fights. He's given the people here on various TV channels and fans lots of thrills and spills. Something that fans in Britain tend to overlook, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, Khan is a bit of a star. You know, in Britain, we remember him as from the Olympics, and he's been in some big old fights. But over here, you know, the fact this is a pay-per-view, you know, don't, in America, it's a pay-per-view. Obviously, it's a pay-per-view in the UK on BT as well. You know, don't think Khan's just here to make up the numbers. And when he gets beat after, say, 9 rounds, and he's, you know, and it's a really tight fight, let's not turn that into it was a mismatch from the start, because it wasn't.
Okay. In your heart of hearts, then, are you leaning towards Crawford on points? I can tell you give Khan a little bit of a squeak here.
Oh, I'm giving Khan a big squeak, because the, you know, the best of Khan from the last 10 years, I mean, the argument might be that Khan's gone anyway, but the best of Khan from the last 10 years can give Crawford a fight, because Crawford's had 12 world title fights. And I'll be absolutely honest with you, he's beaten guys in those 12 world title fights that are perfectly okay, perfectly acceptable. But he hasn't beaten any great fighters. Khan will be his best win. Just think about it that way.
Okay.
Khan will be his best win. I do give him a squeak. I don't think so. I think Crawford might get to him in the last 3 or 4 rounds or win on points. But I would imagine Khan will make it, I know he'll make it very interesting for the first 6, 7, 8. Well, I'm convinced he will.
Crawford's win on points is 16-5. Then he's 4-11 to stop Khan. Khan is 14-1 to win by stoppage and 9-1 to win on points for the big fight coming up on Saturday night. And you can check out all the boxing betting, of course, on the William Hill website. An absolute raft of ways in, particularly on that Crawford-Khan fight. Bunty, thank you very much for your company. A pleasure, as always. And enjoy the fight on Saturday night.
Thanks very much indeed. Speak to you later.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.